Good morning, everybody. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
How are you this morning?
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, no, I can hear you.
Okay, good.
There's everybody. All right. Showing up. All right. It's early morning. I was half expecting y'all to be chatting. And then I got in here and it's like, oh, it's morning. Okay. So do we have everybody here? We're still missing. I hate to say that because then the one person you're missing, okay, never mind. I'm not even going to do that. It's too early for me to count. All right.
Agnieszka is missing, I think.
Oh, thank you. And I knew that. She's going to be late.
Oh, okay.
She's going to be a few minutes late. So it started recording. Beautiful. And let's do this. Oh, Kathleen. Okay, hang on. Kathleen just texted. Resend the invite. Oi, does somebody have her email? Let me see if I can find it. Hang on a second. Hold on. Let's forward this to Kathleen. There we go. Bam. All right. And just like that, we solved it. All right. You're here.
I found an old one. Sorry. I don't know what I...
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
New phone dilemmas. That's all.
There is a way, and I don't know how you can do it on a phone, but I know there's a way to bookmark a Zoom. Because the people who work with me, they've all got my Zoom room bookmarked. And I don't have to send them invites. It's just there. So since we're doing this till November, you might want to just bookmark
that out.
Link. Yeah. And I'm sure there's a way on the phone if there's a way on the, well, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I'm actually really excited about today. And as I was going through all the different stuff we're going to do this weekend, I was wondering, I wonder if they're dreading it or looking forward to it. And what I want you to do is to just be honest with you about how you were feeling before we started. It doesn't matter if you were dreading it. It doesn't matter if you were enjoying and looking forward to it, right? What matters is, are you honest with yourself about your feeling? Because here's the thing. There are times when we really look forward to things, and that's wonderful. And there are times where we're really dreading things, and just because we're dreading doesn't mean our whole being doesn't want to do it. It just means we're dreading it. We're not in the mood. It could mean that there's some part of you doesn't really want to go where you know we're going to go. And what we want to do is give ourselves permission to not want to go where you know I'm going to take you. You get to say, I really don't want to do that, Karen. I'm still going to have you do it. But you get to say to yourself, you know, I really don't feel like doing that. And I'm going, okay. And here, let's do it. Do you follow the difference? It's like everything changes when we give ourselves and other people permission to just experience what they're experiencing. And then ours as meditators is knowing we've learned something other people don't know. We've learned that, oh, just because I'm having a thought that has generated a feeling or a sensation, what you might call it an emotion of resistance or dread, doesn't mean the thought is true. It doesn't mean it's how I am or who I am. All it means is there is something inside you that's going, pay attention to me! Pay attention to me! Pay attention to me! Pay attention to me! That's all it's saying. It's just saying, it's like pecking at you, pay attention to me, pay attention. And the only way it knows to get your attention is to feel like dread or resistance or something, right? And we spent our whole life running away from that feeling instead of learning to just go, oh, yes, what? Oh, what? And then it says, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. And you go, oh, I hear you. Okay. You don't want to do it. Okay. And that part of you goes, ah, and it goes, okay, let's do it now. And we do it. Okay. So this is the beauty of this kind of a program is we get to spend a little more time really grasping that we are not our minds. We are not our emotions. We are what those things want to be paid attention. We are what those things want to be. How am I saying this? Somebody say this for me. You know, somebody knows what I'm trying to say here. We're the part of us that all those things want attention from. The you in there, they just want your attention. They want to know that you are their best friend, that you are on their side, and that you have their back, and you're going to take care of them. That's what they want. That's what they want. And we were grown up, taught, raised to believe that caring about ourselves like that was not okay. It was selfish. It was self-centered. It was egotistic. It was, there's a lot of other words, arrogant, prideful. It was narcissistic. I mean, right? Can you think all these words we have to describe? So of course, be kind to myself. Pay attention to me. We aren't taught to do that. And meditation takes it from the exact opposite angle. Exact opposite angle. You must pay attention to you because you cannot love if you don't know how to love you. You cannot be kind unless you know how to be kind to you. You cannot be compassionate unless you know how to be compassionate to you. And when we are in this place, we can engage in the world as it is. And this is mindfulness. This is the very basic bottom of meditation. The starting point we have called mindfulness, where we learn to see things as they are. Mindfulness. Learning to see things as they are. Not my past. Not what happened last time I talked to that asshole. Not my concerns about what's going to happen. I'm going to get there and everybody's going to be talking to everybody. Nobody's going to look at me and I'm going to be feeling so awkward. Not the future, not the past. What's going on right here, right now? Okay. So that's kind of where we're going today or today and tomorrow, but let's start with the meditation. Let's start with the meditation. And so I'm going to ask you to find your seat. Laura, I saw you pick up your cup and it made me think of snack break. And you did it so mindfully. You just, so mindfully. For those of you who haven't been able to join the snack break, some of you have been able to, oh God, and I'm sitting here going to toot my horn, but I think it's going really well. I think as my daughter said it the best, she's on the phone with me and she goes, Mom, oh no, it was a Marco Polo, so it wasn't actual engagement. She just goes, Mom, I'm kind of liking that snack thing. Now she's in her car in LA. She's got long hair and she's got a big sunglasses on, right? And she's sitting in her car going, Mom, I'm kind of liking that snack thing. You know, Gina did a really good job. I'm liking it. You know, it's like, and then she looks at the camera, get in, chill out, get out. Perfect. And she's sitting there. It was just the most. I wish I could take that recording and show it to people, you know, it was beautiful. But so for those of you, hopefully everybody, if you wanted the link, cause you know, it's free for all of you, right? And if you wanted to be joining us, you just needed to let Darcy know and she put you on the list. So if you aren't on the list and you wanted to be on the list, just let Darcy know and she'll get you on it. Okay. And so Brenda, April, who, Kelsey, is it, are you liking it? Agnieszka, are you liking it? Those of you who are doing it?
I've done it once. I made it once, but it always seems to pop up and I'm like, oh gosh, I forgot. So I'm hoping I'll get better this week, but yes.
It's a habit.
The one I made.
Yeah. It's like we have to start. I think Brenda, you have a timer that goes off, right?
That's probably what I should do, is set an alarm. That's a good idea.
So the email comes in, because I decided not to stop getting the emails because it's one more reminder. But the email comes in, then my phone alarm goes off, and then another timer goes off 2 minutes before, just in case I have forgotten, which has happened many times. I think I've only made it like 3 or 4 times, but you know, it's better than, I don't have any expectation I'm going to do it every day.
Yes.
And that helps me to show up when I can.
She's done it from the car.
Yep.
She's done it with 5 kids in the room. And it was the day, it was yesterday I was doing it, and I was doing a thing about hanging on and letting go. And her daughter had a tangerine, was it?
An orange.
An orange in her hand. And Natalie's only 10 or 11. And she's not 12.
Almost.
Fuck. All right. Anyway. So she doesn't know. She doesn't know what you know to adapt it. She's following instructions. So she's squeezing this orange and getting juice all over. So anyway.
Which of course made the 4 other kids burst out into laughter. And then we all so they went outside and I finished.
So now I think that's a huge success. They experienced laughter in meditation. Nice. All right. All right. Okay. So at any rate, there we are. We had a little interlude there, plugging our snack break, but mainly I want to make sure you guys know it's free for you. So with that, let's find our seat. And what do you do when I say find your seat? What do you do? Notice what you do, your mind does. What does your body do? And in the various traditions, there's various, protocols. They have different lists. Meditation traditions love to make lists. There's the 5-point posture, the 8 points of posture, the 3. And what we want you to do is to have a routine that works for you. And it almost always involves placement of the buttocks and the feet, placement of the hands, bringing a gentle but erect posture to the spine. And sometimes it includes an opening of the chest. Sometimes it includes what we call a tucking, a gentle tucking of the chin. But sometimes people will simply just say, lift the head towards the ceiling, which stretches the back of the neck, which also tucks the chin. And then there's the position of the eyes. And for our purposes at this point in our training, we are meditating with our eyes closed. At some point, we'll learn about meditating with the eyes open in the more Buddhist style. And we add one more thing in our yoga tradition, which is to lift the eyes, the gaze, gently towards what we call the sun center, which is an energy center between the eyebrows on the forehead. We call it the third eye, the wisdom center. You know this from other, just kind of in the culture, right? The single eye, the third eye. And what we want to do when we lift our gaze towards the sun center is we're not doing like we're trying to do a cross-eyed thing where there's strain on the eyes. I was taught to just imagine that I'm actually lifting my eyes to look at something a little above my eyes at the level of my forehead. That's about 8 to 12 inches in front of me. And as I put my attention on a point out there, it naturally lifts my eyes. And this gentle lifting of the eyes helps to steady the eyes. And it helps to begin to bring us into awareness of the actual sun center. So for today, I'm going to ask you to just kind of look at what do you see on the screen of your mind right now as your eyes are gazing up towards the sun center. What is there on the screen of your mind? And there's no right or wrong. It's just some of you may see gray. Some of you may see like kind of gray with static. Some of you may see black. Some of you may see lots of points of color. Some of you may look like, well, there's all kinds of things it can look like. What does it look like to you? And just notice so you can share with us later if I remember to ask. And so let's take a nice deep breath. As you exhale, soften from your crown down to your seat and your feet. And on your own right now, just scan your body quickly. Just kind of look around and find an area of your body that's a little tight, a little achy. And if you don't have one, just be glad. Just be glad and use your shoulders and just pretend, okay, as we do this. I don't think I've ever done this where I didn't find something, but let's hope that somebody maybe is so relaxed and at ease. There is no tightness. But now what we're going to do is we're going to bring our attention to that area, right? And just kind of notice it. Notice the sensation, the tightness. And I'm not talking about, this is not emotional. This is physical. This is literally a muscle or an area in the physical body, okay? And what we're going to do is as you inhale, you're going to imagine that you are sending the breath into that area of the body. And the breath is so magical that we can direct it with our mind and the body responds as if we're literally blowing this comforting, gentle space into this tightness. And at first it may just feel like it's softening. The breath flows in, this gentle breath comes in softening. And what we want to do is hold an awareness that as we exhale, we're letting go of everything except that soft openness that the breath has brought. So this is meditation. This is concentration, right? We are choosing to focus on the softness, not the tightness. So keep going. Just keep inhaling. With each in-breath, it opens a little more. And for your personality, for some of you that may be literally imagining that there are cells that were tight and they're now getting space between them and moving further apart with each in-breath and they're floating, these cells begin to just float in this spacious openness, softness. For some of you, it may literally just be a sensation of opening. And then as you exhale, you hold on to the feeling of softness and openness. And some of you may narrate it for yourselves. It's a thought, it's a story you're telling. And what you might begin to notice is that as you're softening, the rest of the body also begins to soften. And that softness begins to spread, expand throughout the rest of your body. And let's just do a couple more breaths where we simply breathe in and float in whatever openness or spaciousness you found. Or ease might be a nice word. And then with your next exhale, simply release everything and see if you can remain aware of the openness, the softness that you found. Let's see if we can rest here for just 30 seconds, keeping your attention in the softness in the body. Enjoying how you feel. And from here, let's bring our attention up to the heart center. Let that in-breath open, just open, a sense of open, gentle expansion in the heart, in the chest. And together, let's say our invocation, and you say it correctly because I don't have it in front of me. So if I say it wrong, don't just ignore me. Teachers can be wrong, right? But bringing our Ishta into our awareness, we open our hearts and we say, O Great Spirit, saints and sages of all religions, all places, all times, and to my own precious Ishta Devata, we bow to you all. Sweep clear the obstacles on our path, and lead us to the other shore of that ocean of awareness. O ye powers that be, help us to awaken in all aspiring souls your eternal wisdom and unselfish love. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. And with that, I'm going to ask you to just get comfortable because we're going to do an Ishta meditation. So if you need to just adjust your posture for a minute, it'll be probably about 10 minute meditation. What I'm going to ask you to do is to visualize your mountain. The mountain that some of you have been doing in the meditation, if not, it's a mountain and it's a high, high mountain. In fact, for today, whatever your mountain is, let's imagine that it's one of the highest peaks in the Himalayas. And it ascends up above the clouds. So at the moment, we might even just be seeing clouds. But let's begin to ascend this mountain. And I say let's, but I mean each one. You're doing it on your own. You don't have a pack of friends with you. It's all just you coming up the mountain, but it's easy. You're going up, moving on up. And then at some point in here, let's see a little path and let's find our way to a waterfall. And there's this beautiful, beautiful waterfall, and you dive into the pool below it, and you come and you stand in that waterfall and let the waters wash down over you as we begin the process of purification. First, letting the waters flow down over the physical body. And the water is the perfect temperature for you. It's the perfect feel for you as you realize that this water is actually light. These are waters of astral light that are flowing down, comforting you, caressing you, bringing you into balance. And then allow the light of this waterfall to move down through the crown of your head into your being, if you haven't already, and begin to bring that light down through the head, the torso, the arms, and it flows out through the fingers and the palms of the hands. It flows down through the torso and the legs, and it flows out through the feet and the toes. And you rest, you stay very soft, and you surrender and allow this, the intelligence and the wisdom and the love in this light, its essence, to find those places in you that are hurting, that are confused, and wash them away. And you don't even need to think about it. Just trust the light. Trust the light to find the pockets of denseness or darkness or negativity and carry them through. Just wash them through. And all you have to do is let them go. Just let them go. And just like we did with that opening breath, where we let the breath bring in the spacious openness, and we let everything go that wasn't that, we allow this light to flow through us, and we let go of everything that isn't this radiant, pure, loving, wise light. And now begin to let yourself float. You've become so filled with this light. You are a radiant being of light, and you float and you lift through the waterfall. And now high, high above you, you still see the top of that mountain, and you're going to float. You're going to float free and easily and effortlessly up, 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 up to the top of the mountain. And your Ishta is there. Your Ishta is there waiting for you. It doesn't matter if it's standing or sitting. And as you come to the top of the mountain, you actually lift a little higher than the mountain. And your Ishta lifts with you. And as you gaze at your Ishta, let your Ishta rest so that your Ishta is just a little bit higher than you and in front of you. So you're both just floating here. And what you're going to do now, here's what we're going to do. You're going to bring your attention in this energetic, alive, vibrant, radiant being that you are to your limbs, to your arms, to your legs, to your torso, to that channel that runs up the very center of your spine. We call it the Sushumna, the central channel. And now with your, as you breathe in your next breath, you're going to take that energy from the tips of your toes and pull it up into your legs and up into your torso. And as you exhale, all of that energy that was in your legs is now in your torso. And you're going to bring your energy, your attention, excuse me, to your arms and your hands and your fingers. And the next time you inhale, pull that energy from the fingers up into the hands, up, up, up the arms, up the arms. And as you exhale, drop all that light, all that energy into the torso. So now your torso is radiant. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you to inhale. And as you exhale, you're going to imagine that all that light that's now in your torso, you're compressing it into that tiny channel that runs in the center of your spine. Okay? So hold attention on that channel in the spine and your, the light in your torso, and inhale. And exhale slowly, compressing all that energy into the spine. And at this point, the light might be golden, it might be white, it might be just pure clearness, but it's all there at the center of the spine. Let your breath return to normal. Bring your attention to the bottom of the spine. And imagine that that base of your tailbone, all of that light now is beginning to compress, and you're pulling it up the spine. And as you pull it up, it begins to form a little ball. And you're pulling it up the center of the spine past the lower back, drawing it up, all the energy up past the navel. And now draw it up past the heart center, up past the throat chakra in the neck, and then draw it up to the very center of your head. And now you've pulled all that energy, and you're going to take all of this beautiful ball of radiant light and project it forward to your sun center. And now your Ishta positions itself so that your Ishta's navel is level with your sun center. And your Ishta is radiant, radiant, radiating the love, the caring, the wisdom, the courage, the strength, the peace, the confidence, the kindness towards you, radiating it. And now you very gently project the ball of light from your sun center into the navel of your Ishta. And it moves up past your Ishta's heart, through your Ishta's throat chakra, up to your Ishta's crown, at which point it explodes into this fountain of golden light that arcs towards you. And as it arcs towards you, it comes in through the top of your head, and it moves down through your head into your spine, and it flows down through the neck chakra, the throat chakra, the heart, the navel, the lower back, to the base of your tailbone, and then it comes back up again. Up through the center of the spine, past the lower back, the navel, up into the heart, the throat, up to your sun center, and then back to the Ishta, into the navel, up to the heart, up past in through the throat, up to the crown of the Ishta's head, through that thousand-petal lotus, once again arcing that radiant light towards you, down towards you, into the top of your head, flowing back down through the throat chakra, past the heart chakra, the navel, the lower back, the base of the tailbone, and then up, past the navel, the heart, the throat, up to your sun center, and one more time, projecting forward to your Ishta's navel, very powerful center. We'll talk about it later. moving up through the heart, the throat, top of the head, arcing towards you, sending all of this incredible darshan down through the top of your head. Let it flow down into the throat chakra, down the spine, through the heart, the navel, the lower back, the base of the tailbone, and back up through the navel, the heart, the throat. And now when you come to your sun center, you take that ball of light now and you lift it up past your forehead, up over the top of your head, down along the outside of your spine, past the neck, down past the heart, the navel, the lower back, the base of the tailbone, and then back up through the center of the spine, this golden light that you are now rotating through your spine, up past the navel, the heart, the throat, to your sun center. And again, rotating up over the forehead, over the top of your head, down over the back of the head, past the throat, the heart, the navel, the lower back, the tailbone, and one more time up the spine, past the navel, the heart, the throat, the sun center, up over the top of the head, and then let this light flow down now, last time, down past the throat, the heart, the navel, the lower back. And as you come back to this, the root chakra, the Saturn chakra, the base of your tailbone, let that connection with the Ishta now simply dissolve. Your Ishta is there in front of you. Your energy is now here at your root chakra. And just smile up at your Ishta. Thank your Ishta for the blessing. Thank your Ishta for the blessing. And then let your Ishta move towards you and dissolve and melt into you. And rest now. And allow yourself to just marinate in this blessing, the darshan of your Ishta. So whenever you're ready, just bring yourself back. Just kind of wiggle your fingers, your toes, stretch a little bit. And let's come back. Come back, come back. So, I had a plan, but it's gone. I'm just floating in Ishtar land now. So, I'm going to ask you all to close your eyes. Let me after you finish your drink, but just close your eyes. And I'm going to ask a couple questions. And so if that meditation was difficult for you, could you just raise your hand? If, thank you very much. Okay. If that meditation was delicious for you, could you raise your hand? Thank you. And if that meditation, you just weren't sure you were doing it right, you weren't quite getting it, it was okay, but you're not quite there, could you raise your hand? Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. Open your eyes. So, so don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We'll be working with this and we'll talk more about the parts of it and what to do with it. What's most important right now is to recognize that this is a process. But my really, truly, on some level, when you come out of the program, if you take anything with you, it's your version of this. Do you follow what I'm saying? It's like how this fits in with your belief system, with everything that your life has taught you. I'm not trying to impose a deity on you. I'm trying to open you up to something that's already inside you and help you find access to that. And we use the symbol of the Ishta. That's the symbol. Okay. And that's the means. But so I want to ensure you to just trust the process, allow the process to unfold. And as you can tell, everybody's at a different place. And my hope is that each one of you can be completely owning and comfortable with where you are, no matter where you think everybody else is. And supportive and happy for everybody else where they are. Yeah? Okay, so now we're going to completely shift you over. We're moving over to something else. And there's something I wanted to ask you guys. I said, if I can remember to ask you, shoot, what was it? It'll come back to me. What was it? Well, we'll get there as we go through each thing. It will get there. So let's do this. Starting out, what do you do for your posture? When I say find your seat, what do you do? What are the things that you do? What are the things that you do?
Do you want us to answer right now? Right now?
Yeah.
Okay. For me, I always just immediately go to my sit bones. It's the first thing I do is find my sit bones, and I just concentrate on the weight right there. So that's my first thing.
And what's the second thing?
Oh.
Okay. You know what? Actually, you know what? I think this is what we're going to do. I'm going to break you up into groups. And I want you to, is everybody here? 3, 6. Okay. I'm going to break you up into groups of 2. Okay. And what I'm going to ask you to do is to see what each other does. And I don't want you to change what you do, but between the two of you, come back to us with a list. These are the things we do. And we do it sort of in this order. How does that sound? Okay. All right. So It's going to be a total random breakout room. So I don't know who's, so that's going to make 5 breakout rooms. And let's see, when I give you, let's give you like 5 minutes, 4 to 5 minutes. Okay. So that you can each give yourself a chance to kind of sit there and go, okay, what do I do? Do I do this? And I'm not talking about what do you do when I'm guiding you? What do you do when you're sitting on your own? Okay. Is that clear? Everybody got that? All right. Have fun.
How did it go?
Oh.
Yeah. So let's hear. What did you come up with in your groups? What did you discover? Do you do the same thing different? We'll go okay. Who said, let me go by the groups. I'll just call you by group number. How's that? So group one was Kathleen and Lisa.
Okay. Oh, well, perfect. I'll answer and then Kathleen will add. For me, it's connecting with the sits bones, lengthening the spine, sitting up nice and tall. Dog is getting ready to bark.
We love dogs. It's okay.
Imagining, there's a string attached to the top of the head, start getting nice and long, which helps for me lengthen the neck. Sometimes I bring in a little lift in the chest. And then the one Kathleen reminded me of, hand placement. And that's sort of the last piece for me.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm similar. It was sort of interesting because I just do it. I didn't think about the steps, so I had to kind of think about it. But the sit bones is definitely the first thing, and I'm getting my shoulders and connecting above, connecting below. But the chest in my neck, I guess, is because it tends to get sore. So I put that and then the mood and then deciding what mood I'm going to use.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. How about group two, April and Ramon?
I think what was interesting was that April breaks it up into very logical steps, where I was kind of like on the haphazard. I kind of just sit down and lift up my spine and kind of, tuck my head and put my hands in different places. My feet are kind of in different places, but she had a definitive way of doing it. Sit bones, deep breath, deep drop shoulders, raise the head, pay attention to her feet, weight of hands, and then start the relaxation where I'm just kind of like, let's get into this. As long as I'm straight, because I slouch a lot and I struggle with flexibility. So I just wanted to be straight up and have my spine straight and be looking for it. Be erect as possible. So
I like the way you first said it though. You said, I just kind of, let's get into it.
Yeah.
I do that. My hands go here and I'm in.
Yeah. Cause in the rest of my life, I overanalyze things. So with this, I'm just kind of like, let's just get into it. Otherwise it becomes too much.
Okay. All right. Group three, Kelsey and Laura.
Well, we both kind of work from bottom to top. So I'm sitting in a chair. I start with my feet and then I move to my seat. And the most interesting part for me, I was trying to figure out where my hands fit in. And because they're in my lap, they happen like right after my seat. And then I move up through and then neck and shoulders. Well, shoulders and then neck. And I think Laura was pretty similar. Did you want to add anything, Laura?
No, it's very similar. I'm often like, I don't know what to do with my hands. Like I end up kind of doing different, probably wrong things with my hands.
But is it last or first? Like Kelsey said, hers comes right after the seat. Where do your hands come into the picture?
I think they go right after seat too. But then after I get started a while, I was like, oh, they moved. So my wrist is like hanging off of my knee or like I just twist them around or something.
Okay. And let's not go to wrong. Let's not go to wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thank you. All right. Agnieszka and Lisa.
So we had a, again, similar, I guess, steps. So I bring my awareness to the pelvis. I'm trying to sit, and if I tilt my pelvis a little bit and then engaging the pelvic floor, lifting the spine, shoulders. And with my hands, I don't know why. I either do, I don't know what this is called, this mudra or palms up or down usually, actually. I don't know. I don't pay much attention to this. I mean, I do sometimes, but not always.
Okay. All right. And we'll get into the mudras at some point. But for now, this works. So, and Lisa, what about you? Similar?
Very similar. Start at the pelvis, moving on up to the head. And I always remember the head over heart, heart over hips. And that kind of helps. And yeah. And the hands, usually they're down because I really feel affected when I have them up right now. And so I keep them down.
Okay. All right. Okay. And Brenda and Steve.
Well, it's funny because I said finding your seat has nothing to do with my seat. It has to do with taking a big breath. Just every time you say that, I just take a deep breath. And that sort of just starts the process. And then it isn't very technical because it's for me, I have to find, it can be different because I have to figure out what's not going to hurt today. So I just have to find a position that is comfortable that at that time. So.
Okay, nice. Now, when you're finding that position, what I want you to become aware of is, okay, so in finding that position, at what point are you thinking about your position of your spine? At what point are you thinking about your chin, your hands, your eyes, right? And so, and that's a really, what you just said is really important, right? Is we have to be comfortable. So that's part of our finding our seat is what is my body going to be able to handle today? So yeah. Thanks, Brenda. Steve, what about you?
I think the find your seat thing, I always go to the find your seat, which works well. Even if I'm standing or something, there's a pretty good sort of understanding or vision of, okay, find your seat. Just in terms of like actually trying to get into a position, I did tell Brenda that I think that trying to get my focus on getting into a comfortable position on the one hand, I find it very fussy. I'm not good at it doesn't really matter to me. It just doesn't make any difference. It's even though I think it probably really does. But one thing I've been working on is trying to put a cushion behind myself. That maybe, you know, I think that's kind of helpful. I don't know. I used to do our kind of like, you know, sitting with my back against the wall. When we were in the rooms, I'm working on sitting comfortably. Now.
Okay. So we're not going to kind of do a one poem thing on posture. We're going to kind of just do little bits here and there, but just for today, I'm just curious to know. I'm just going to ask each one of you. So, cause I want to know what you're sitting on. I want to know what you're sitting on. What are you sitting on for this class? Right. So Agnieszka, are you on a cushion on a blanket?
Cushion, blanket for my legs and cushion for my back.
Okay, so you have a blanket underneath everything and then a cushion. And okay, all right. Lisa, in Oregon, what are you sitting on?
I'm sitting on a chair with a blanket on top of that, so my hips are slightly higher than my legs.
And so it's a chair like this?
Yeah.
And so are your feet flat on the floor?
Yes.
Okay. So if you're sitting on a chair, like, I'm sitting on a cushion, right? So my feet are crossed.
Yeah, but my feet aren't crossed.
Exactly. So if you're sitting on a chair, feet flat on the floor becomes part of your posture, right? And so this is the mindful. Let's become really mindful of how do you sit? And let's, instead of taking for granted what you do and it just being automatic, let's become aware of what you do. so that you can actually, okay, oh, you know what I do? I start in my sit bones and then I go into, oh, my feet are flat on the floor. I make sure my knees are a little, you know, my hips are a little higher than my knees. Those kinds of things. That's what we're looking for. Great. Okay. So Agnieszka's on a cushion. Lisa's on a chair. Kelsey, what are you on?
I'm on a chair also. Very straight chair.
Okay. All right. And so, okay. So wait. So Lisa and Kelsey, I mean, literally when I say straight chair, I mean chair like this, not a, okay. All right. Miss Lisa in, I got Lisa in Oregon and Lisa Two Eyes. No, Lisa Finnish, right?
I'm right now, I'm in a chair with a blanket on top and, I'll probably switch and then I'll be on a couple of blankets sitting.
Is it a straight chair, Lisa, or like an office chair?
It's straight chair versus it's just the portable chair, like a folding chair used for class.
Folding chair. Okay. Yeah. Great. In other words, what I'm trying, there are, let's get through this and I'll show you. Okay. Steve, what are you on?
I'm on a couch. My hips are largely parallel to the floor. I mean, yeah, to the floor, and the floor is basically just wood.
Okay, and then the couch.
Why?
How about for those of you who are on couches? This is what we want to pay attention to. Okay, because there are a couple of you who are on beds or couches. Beds are fine. What we want to make sure is when we're actually doing certain meditations that we get back to where we were. Remember, Steve, at the center where you are at least parallel, knees and hips parallel, if not your hips up a little higher than your knees, right? And what happens in couches is a lot of times it slumps. So you're down and your legs are coming up and down like that, especially like Steve, what are you, 6'3"?
Roughly, I guess.
Yeah. But
my hips are largely parallel to the ground.
Okay.
I suppose I could add a cushion.
So, or, well, okay. And is it a deep couch? So are you, it looks like you're leaning back like this. Is it a deep couch?
Yeah, it's pretty solid. It's not like where I'm like falling into it and just, you know, it's.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. Ramon, what about you?
I have an office chair.
Okay. Does it have arms on it?
Yeah.
All right. And are you able to, are your knees and your hips parallel, or are they going like this?
They're parallel. It's just a little decline on the knees.
A little decline. Okay. All right.
But I can adjust this. It's adjustable.
So when we start working like this, is this rotation we just did, it's called a rotation. Wherever we're moving up and down the spine, we call it a rotation, right? And when we're doing pranayamas or rotations, we want our spine as straight as we can comfortably make it. And so the suggestion is for those of you in straight chairs, you just come to the front of the chair. You just come to the front of the chair, and I'll show you this in a little bit. If you're in an office chair, you're just going to have to, maybe you can come to the front, maybe you can adjust the chair, but we want to make sure that the spine, that we let the natural curve in the lower back bring that, it's a very natural tilt to the pelvis so that our weight is actually on our sit bones. So our spine is effortlessly lifting up. Okay. So let me finish this, then I'll show you. I've got two chairs here and then we'll do that quickly before break. So April, what are you sitting on, my dear?
I'm on a crescent cushion. Yeah.
Okay. So you're on the floor on a cushion. Okay. Legs crossed. Okay. And Brenda? You're muted. Can't hear you. I could hear you a minute ago. While you figure that out, I'm going to ask Laura.
I'm on a bench or couch, but it's pretty straight. It's not like a loungy couch. It's like,
it looks straight. Yeah. Okay. And so for you to sit up with your spine straight, do you need to come to the front of the couch?
No, I just need to sit up.
You just need to sit up. Okay. Okay. And Kathleen, you're on a bed.
Yeah. You know, I move all over the place. It's just whatever's going. So my rocking chair is what I meditate in a lot of times. And that has a natural curve in the lower back of it. So it actually, I just was thinking of that. It naturally pushes my hips back or whatever. So it just depends on what I'm feeling like.
Okay. All right. Okay. Brenda, are you back?
I don't know. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Okay.
Okay. Well, I had to take my headphones out. Now I can't hear you guys very well, but I'll play around with it. Okay. So I have this like little folding cushion chair thing, which has a nice little lift at the front. So when I scoot forward on it, I can be more straight. But I also just picked up from the storage thing some different pillows to practice with. So I have an actual cushion that I'm going to try so I can be sitting a little bit more differently. So
great. Okay. And just so you know, for those of you in Oregon, you do have that added benefit that we have this, all of our stuff is in storage. We've got cushions. Okay. We got cushions.
Yeah. I'd love to try some.
We've got all kinds. I mean, you can try the Buckwheat, and at the retreat, those of you flying in will have all these cushions there. So if you're interested, you can try out these different things. But so if you want to try and do something like that, April's your person. She handles all of that. So just talk with her. And what would be good is to have two or three, see if we can get a couple people to go at once. So she's not making tons of little trips, but so. Okay. So the last thing I want to say about beds, because I know at different times, everybody at one time or another is on a bed. Beds are soft. When they're soft, the butt sinks and the legs go up and it's very hard. It's very hard to get a straight spine, but there is a long standing tradition of meditating in your bed, but those beds were more like futon, just batting on a slab of wood, right? So it was like, is more like being on a zabutan on a floor. A zabutan is the, here, let me just back this up now and hold on. I'm going to show you guys a couple of things. So, can you see? There you go. This is a zabutan, right? It's batting, and it's what we sit on to keep our ankles and knees from hurting when we sit on the floor. And then we have the zafu, or the crescent, is what the body sits on. Okay. Now, actually, you know what? What am I going to do here? I'm going to give you guys a little tour of my office while we're doing this. Oh my goodness. Too many wires, guys. All right. I was on the phone with somebody the other day on Zoom, and they were like, oh my gosh, is that where you do all this from? So let me turn this around. I'm going to show you my office on our way to the chairs. Can you still hear me? Because my microphone is a little.
Yes.
You still hear me? Okay. So here we go. This is my office. Let me show you. That's my house over there. Okay. So I've got this little studio out here. And over in this corner, that's my TV that I used to watch a lot during certain. Never mind, Karen. Don't go down that road. Anyways, I hardly use it anymore. But this is where I do a lot of when I'm just studying or reading or teaching, I sit here. That's the whiteboard where April and I do a lot of brainstorming. And then this is a very small space that has like 5,000 uses, right?
And so then this is another.
We lost your audio.
And visual.
Uh-oh.
I think she might be frozen.
I think the picture's frozen, yeah, on your door and whiteboard.
Is this, you know, this is when the teacher disappears and all the students go crazy.
Yeah. Everybody start dancing.
Exactly.
I don't feel like cleaning up any spitballs though.
She'll be back.
There we are.
Okay. Oh, can you hear us?
Uh-oh.
Oh no. He's frozen. Oh.
Apparently you can't do the tour, Karen.
No, you know what it was? I was trying not to disconnect from my cable. And so it did. So it put me to wireless. So anyway, this is all that. And then over here, that's outside. That's where we sometimes, and it's nice, we can sit out there and visit. And then there's over here, which is just beginning of a bus, just all the stuff, right? And there's just stuff. There's just stuff. I can't even tell you how much stuff it takes to do this. It's like stuff and books and more books. Oh,
you're making me feel so much better though.
Look at this. And you think you just see a little thing. I am surrounded by crap. All my papers are there, right? And so there we go. And I and more books. But so anyways, let's come back. We're going to talk about chairs. I want to talk about chairs.
This is actually kind of funny because I always think I want to face my nice meditative space, but then I also want it in the camera. So I don't want to look at all that crap, but I want it to look nice in my camera.
Well, now you see, if you stand, if we come up over here, you see. That's what you see in the midst of all the rest of this, right?
So is this like a little, your own little hut outside of your house?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Nice.
Yeah. It was a wood shop for the carpentry shop for the guys, people who lived before us. And then we got to turn it into this. So let's do one quick about chairs and then we'll take a little break. Okay. So this is for Ramon and several others of you who I know sometimes are in chairs because I see you sitting on them. So office chair. Problem is you sit back like this, and once I'm back here, my hips are sunk into this little, I don't know the word for this. You guys know what is this? The depression for the butt, right? What this, almost all chairs, Ramon, yours probably does too. It has, it's a little thicker, right? Where the thighs hit, right?
Yep.
And when we're doing anything with the spine, what you might want to do is come forward so your, like my sit bones are now right at the front. And when I do this, my knees can be lower than my hips.
Okay.
And my feet are flat on the floor. My hands can go on my lap. And now all of a sudden, because with my weight on my sit bones and my knees a little low, oh, this curve comes right in here.
Mm-hmm.
And all my weight is on my sit bones and I can literally, the whole rest of my body can relax. Okay. Because the spine, the skeleton carries all the weight.
Okay.
It's like literally that's what the skeleton, I don't know if this is true, but this is the way I think about it. We should ask the yoga people. That's like literally this, you've got your sit bones and your pubic bone. And when we're situated so that the sit bones are the back of a triangle. The pubic bone becomes the front. Sit bone, pubic bone. It makes a triangle. And then when the back, the natural curve comes in, it feels like, I don't know if it's literally true because I've never measured it, but it feels like the spine is literally just kind of sitting right above the center between the pubic bone and the sit bones. It's like the spine is just perfectly positioned right there. And it's easy. And you've got this
this strong skeletal structure that allows every muscle to soften, and you don't fall over because of the sit bones. So for all of you, whether you're on a straight chair or a chair like this, when we're doing rotations or when we're doing meditations where we want you to stay alert, pranayamas, you want to be at the front on your sit bones. So Laura, we want to see you come to the front of your couch, right? Kathleen, if you're on the bed, you might want to sit on the edge of the bed for a moment like that, right? Because I'm telling you, I've tried so many times on a bed, even putting pillows under my butt on a bed. Okay. I can't get the solidity of the sit bones. Am I making sense?
Yeah, I know. I have a footstool that's a wood stool at the end of the bed. I'll move for the next meditation and try that.
Perfect. Perfect. So this is more the chair like Lisa and both Lisas are sitting on, right? Is that a chair like, and Kelsey, you guys have a chair like this?
Almost exactly like that.
Yeah, good old Costco, right?
Yep.
I love it. It folds. So on these, it's really easy because it's hard. It's a harder chair, but as soon as you sit back, this is what wants to happen.
Right.
Right? So we come to the front so that my sit bones are literally, can you see? It's not that I'm trying to show you all my butt. It's just that, you know, butt. Right, there we go, right? And it just makes this nice spot. And see, there's that curve. It just matches. Like, and here's the other thing is you just soften your, now, I don't know. Agnieszka may tell us something different because we got Agnieszka and Lisa, both yoga people here, right? But the way I say it, it's like, I just don't worry about it. We spend our whole life like, suck it in. I don't want to have a belly. But I'm telling you, just soften it. Let that curve come. And there's just that natural tilt. When you're on your sit bones, it just tilts a little bit. And, oh, my God, you will become, I'm going to encourage you to do this more and more because it becomes like home. You literally begin to trust that if I'm on my sit bones and my, and I'm tilted a little bit forward, right? So I'm at the, so I'm solid. The curve in my back is here. I feel like my spine is right in the center of that triangle. I literally can, every muscle can just relax and I'm solid. I'm stable. And it teaches us something really profound on another level that we can be soft and strong at the same time. We can be soft and surrender and be supported at the same time. It's really a beautiful, beautiful thing. So I'm going to encourage all of you, no matter where you sit, to start playing with this idea of finding your sit bones and finding your seat. Not that I want you, I'm not asking everybody to sit in a certain way so much as to just kind of open up the habit that you have after all these years of meditating and see if you can just expand your repertoire a little bit and find this type of a stability and softness in your posture. Did that make any sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. That made so much sense. All this time I've been trying to hold myself up with my back muscles and that's really good. Yeah, I thought that was, I knew that place, but I thought it was cheating.
No, your inner wisdom. Ramon, do you have a question?
Yeah, what's keeping you from slouching? Like when you sit on the front of the chair, what's keeping you from slouching? Because I think that's my problem is I can sit that way. But then when you said let the belly come out, I think that's part of it. But I tend to slouch. I tend to go like this.
Really good question. And that's the difference is I'm on my sit bones, the curve in my back, and I open the chest.
Gotcha. Okay.
So they say it in different ways in different traditions. Some will say roll the shoulders back. I've got several teachers who say bring the shoulder blades together, which is interesting because that opens the chest this way, whereas rolling the shoulders kind of brings a little lift at the same time as it opens. So I think what matters is that you find it for you. But as soon as I bring my shoulders back and that opening in the chest, maybe that's a better way to name it, the opening in the chest, then my arms are soft and position of my hands helps me not slouch. Which is why, to be honest with you, I actually do a lot of meditating with my palms down on my knees now, because I don't know if it's just age or what, but when my palms are down on my knees, it helps me keep, it's almost like it keeps my shoulders back for me. When I do this, when I put the palms up, my shoulders want to come forward. And so to keep my posture, to keep me from slouching, I tend to put palms up, and depending on how I'm feeling, some traditions will say, bring your palms right into here. Because if your palms are here and your elbows are down and your shoulders are back, it just keeps you up. And it's like these almost become the, what do you want to call it? The brace that doesn't let you do this.
Gotcha.
It helps you. But for me right now, I do this. Some of you do this. And like Agnieszka said, she does this. I had years where this is how I meditated. But for whatever reason, my body's changed and this is how now. So we want you to find what works for you, but that's the next piece, is then the arms and the shoulders, the hand position helps you to find that. And if you can sit like that for even 30 seconds in the beginning, that's how it starts. I know I've said this before and you won't believe me, but when I started meditating, I could not sit on the floor. I sat in a chair. And then I sat in a chair like this, and then I found this, and I found this, and at that point my hands were probably up. And then, literally, I could do it for just a few minutes, then it got to where I could do it for longer, and then literally the day came where I just wanted to sit on the floor. My body wanted to. Well, then I sat on the floor, and it was like it wanted to, but I didn't know how. And this was over 20 years ago. So this ease of sitting, it builds gradually. And what you find, and for those of you who are already on the floor, it's like, you know, you're on the floor and you're in your little posture, right? Well, when I started sitting on the floor, I couldn't do this. I was up like this on a pillow. And for those of you on pillows, one of the things that April and I've discovered, April, do you want to explain it to them? Because you explained it really well the other day.
Well, I'll try to remember what I explained to you, but I find that when I am sitting on a cushion and it's remarkably high, like I always thought I don't need a high cushion because that's going to tweak my back or that's going to be weird. And it actually works better if I'm higher up on a higher cushion, because it forces my knees below my hips, and then it naturally pushes my pelvic forward. And when I'm in that forward position, it's almost impossible for me to slouch, I've found. Like, I'm pushed forward, and if I'm going to slouch, I have to like make myself slouch, because it's like gravity is pulling my pelvis kind of forward in this natural, and it's really comfortable. And it didn't used to be, because I think I wasn't high enough for my knees. But I thought there's something wrong here, because my back is always hurting when I'm in this position. And now that I've discovered, when I'm higher up and I'm right on that edge, right on the edge of that pillow or the cushion, that tilt, just everything relaxes, and it's like the spine is straight, and I can sit here for a long time and my back doesn't hurt.
So let me point out what she said that was key, that this is the fallacy. Everybody, you see a round cushion, right? It's round. So what does our mind go? Oh, let me sit in the center.
Right.
So we want to sit in the center of the cushion. The cushions are not meant for you to sit on the center. You sit on the edge, the front edge. So that your sit bones are on the front edge of the cushion. So you have this, all my cushions are in storage, so I can't show you, but it's like I have a round cushion. If I was sitting on it, you think it would just be half a circle behind me. No, there's this big pooch behind me of this circle, and I'm on just the very tiny little front, sitting.
Yeah, okay. One of the big round ones.
It's like this.
Oh, yeah. Can you show them how high that is? So which one do you have?
So it's big, and it's squishy, and my whole thing is to practice sitting here on the front of it.
Yes.
So, yeah, I just didn't get it all set up for today.
Exactly. And so I kind of view it as
like conditioning, you know, like if you're going to start running, you don't just run 5 miles today. You do like a little bit, you know, and mm-hmm. I feel the same way with trying to get into this. It's like the 30-second thing or the whatever, just like every day, just try it for a little bit. And eventually I think that the parts that we need to be stronger will get stronger. So.
And that cushion, it was easily 12 inches.
Yeah.
And then what happens is as you do this, your hips start to open. And then I was at 8 inches. Then I was at 5 inches. And now I'm at like, I just enough to get my sit bones high, you know? So why are we talking about posture at this point? Because what I want you to start doing is paying attention to what you do mindfully. Every time you start to sit, what do? How do you bring your body into alignment? And to just start thinking a little more about what is a nice posture for my body? Because the fact is, the more comfortable you are, the longer you can sit. If you're sitting there and you're thinking about your body, you're thinking about this ache, you're thinking about your knee, oh my God, so many years thinking about my knee, that you're not, you can't meditate. And we in the West, we need to have comfort. It's just the way we are. In the East, and some of you have been to these places, these meditation centers where they expect you to, Ramon, you were telling me about that story. Do you want to share that with them?
Yeah. What happened? Yeah, I was in Burma, and it was about 10 Japanese folks and 3 Americans, and Japanese folks were able to sit down, just on their knees down and everything. And the Americans, we all needed chairs, and we couldn't find comfort. And then there were certain positions where you're not supposed to show you're at the bottom of your feet to a monk. So imagine now I'm trying to sit there for 15 minutes while he's giving a lecture, and I'm basically trying to keep my feet back, and my knees are killing me. I can't find Advil or any type of Aleve or anything in the country. And I'm like, so it was incredibly uncomfortable. But yeah, for other cultures, people in their 90s are sitting on their knees. They had no problems. They were, you know, but we just, America, we just can't do it. I don't know.
Thank you. Yeah. My husband. Same experience going to a Zen monastery for his first retreat, you know, and he didn't want to have to be the one sitting in the chair, and he was in so much pain. But yeah. Just think every moment, Ramon, right? Every moment you think about the pain in your body.
All I could think about was when is this going to be over? And he's giving this remarkable lecture, but I can't really pay attention to it. I'm just like, I hope he's done. So, yeah.
Exactly. Thank you. Now, Agnieszka, do you have anything you want to share with us that you've learned over these years? Agnieszka's been teaching yoga for so long. So any thoughts you want to add to this?
Not really. I mean, I think that everybody is different. And what April said, really discovering for yourself what works. And I agree with the soft belly, just to confirm, the belly should be soft and breathe, right?
Thank you. Okay. Soft belly has been approved by the yoga people. Okay.
If it matters. But really it's self-discovery and also being open that one day you may need more support. The other day you may need less, and it's just, or supporting your knee, or just really, like you said, making yourself comfortable. We are different every day.
Exactly. Thank you, Agnieszka. So more permission, and this is the mindful part, is to be present for what's happening on that day. Because every day is different. And this is the not mindful part is, well, yesterday I sat like this. Today comes and you try to force yourself to sit like you did yesterday when for some reason your body was so limber and oh my God, your knees were down and you were like in perfect posture. It was so easy. And then, oh my God, next thing you know, I'm in half lotus and it's so simple. Oh my God, next thing you know, I'm in lotus, you know, and then the next day comes and you can't even move. It's like, right? We just need to, where are we now? And your training is to learn for you to be mindful and honest and authentic in that moment. And notice the shame or the comparison or these other things that might be coming up and have, this is a skill we're learning now, we'll be learning. Just go, oh, well, isn't that an interesting thought? I want to sit like, you know, Baba Ram Das and, you know, with my legs in full lotus in my, you know, for hours. And that's not a realistic expectation for me. Okay. That was an interesting thought. Let me come back to me right here, right now. That's what we're learning. That's what we're learning to do. Yeah. So with
and
that.
Karen, yeah. When you did the, when we did the first meditation and then you said that we were going to do the Ishta one, just so you know, you said be comfortable. And to me that meant, okay, I can kind of like, I could lean back or I could chill out, you know, whatever. And then you started doing what I know because I've worked with you rotations and went, oh, we're not supposed to be comfortable during this. We're supposed to have the spine more accessible. And so then I was in the middle of it trying to be like, do I move? Do I like, you know, do I figure this out? Because the word comfortable to me usually has meant that we can relax whatever we were holding before. So.
Well done. And this is how a teacher's mind works. I opened you with the breath to open, soften and release, right? Which you hopefully all had a chance to practice. And that was the technique I wanted your spine straight for. And I know that this technique, it was the first time I was introducing it, and I know we'll be doing it more. So I made a choice in my head that I'd rather have you comfortable and without any pain doing the rotation the first time than spine straight. But well done, Brenda. Well done. That is one of those techniques that normally we would do with the spine straight, but I'm not gonna, if I would start you there then, right? It would be the very first thing we did rather than take you through all that other stuff. So good awareness. Kelsey, yeah.
My question is, so if we're sitting and, you know, we start out great and then in the middle of the meditation, we start to get like pain or discomfort, what do we do? Is it like that we just pay attention to it, or is it that we have permission to move our bodies and adjust?
This is what I tell, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Okay, I'm sitting like this, right? Let's back it up a little bit so you can see. Okay, so I'm sitting and I've got my, I'm down. I'm sitting like this doing this meditation and I'm in there and my knee starts to hurt. The trick is this. First of all, do not keep sitting if your knee hurts. Number one, don't keep sitting if your knee hurts. There are, go to a 10-day Vipassana retreat, they're going to tell you to sit through it. That's not what we do. That's, as Ramon was saying, this is a different ethos. It's a different style and there's nothing wrong with it. But without exception, the teachers that I've had, Buddhist yoga, who have brought the teachings back here for us, they say be comfortable. Because if you're thinking about the pain, it's exactly what Ramon said. All you're thinking about is, when is this going to be over? When can I move? Right? And now you're not meditating. So this is how to look at it. You know, when you're asleep at night and you change position while you're sleeping, you change position and you fall right back asleep. Because you stay in your zone. You move your body, but you stay in your zone. So what we want to do as meditators, Stay in your zone wherever you are. This is starting to distract me, this knee over here. Oh, okay. And then I just very mindfully, I just move it out, get it comfortable. And I've stayed enough in my zone that now I'm in my zone. And then after a few moments, it's like, okay, this knee's hurting. So I bring this leg back in slowly. And I just, and sometimes I'll even use both hands, right? And you just move the other leg out. And so you stay, the main thing is stay in your zone. Think of it as if you were moving in a dream. Make it slow, make it mindful, you know. Does that help?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I was always just scared of like, oh my God, Karen's going to see me moving and I broke my concentration.
Oh, well, I'm glad you said that because here's the truth. It's if I see you moving, I'm going, oh, thank God, good job. Mm-hmm. That's what I think. Like, good job. Take care of yourself because I'm not in your body. And believe me, if I was in your body and you were hurting, I'd say move. Say move. And as you all know, there are days when you can't get comfortable at all. At which point you do what Brenda did. It's like, let me just lean back and just, oh, let me just be here. Yeah, I know she's doing a rotation. I can't do it. I'm just going to do it right here. Does that help?
Yeah.
Yeah,
sorry, I know we're going on break, but you're probably going to get into this, but is there a reason why we sit, why you need to sit with the, and I read this in some of Kriyananda's, or listened to it in some of Kriyananda's lectures, but what's the reason, why is it so important that we keep the, you know, the back straight and the posture so important in meditation?
Oh, there's a lot of reasons. So let's take a break, because I want to keep the recording to about an hour and a half. So mm-hmm. Let's take a break. And then when we come back, we'll start there.
Can I ask you a 30-second question?
Yeah.
regarding comfort, it's very comfortable for me to cross my legs. Everything feels great. I'm good. I'm assuming that's still illegal, right? I'm trying not to do it.
Yeah, we'll talk about it when we get back. Yeah, it's illegal. Good one, Steve. Okay. Do you guys want 10 minutes or 5 minutes? What do you think? 10? Okay, let's do a 10-minute break. So we'll come back at quarter after. Okay. Quarter after. Okay. All right.